I ask you to take your Bibles this morning and turn to Psalm 136. We'll be looking at a Thanksgiving psalm this morning. There are a lot of them. There's a lot of psalms of Thanksgiving. And this is one that encourages us to give thanks. Psalm 136. Have you ever heard the phrase, repetition aids learning? Evidently, God agrees with that principle, because in this psalm, as you probably noticed as we read it, we were saying the same thing over and over again. I think 26 times that phrase repeats there, for his mercy endureth forever. And you remember that the psalms are songs. And evidently, at some point in time, this psalm was sung, and it had this repeating phrase over and over again. And, you know, sometimes people talk about the 7-11 choruses, you know, seven words repeated 11 times. So this is actually, you know, repeated 26 times throughout this song. So there is a place for some repetition in songs. But perhaps this was an antiphonal song. And, you know, sometimes we sing that song, Hallelujah, 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 Praise Ye the Lord. Okay, that's actually an antiphonal song. Did you know that? Because the one side usually sings, Praise Ye the Lord. The other side sings, Hallelujah. And we sing back and forth. That's what an antiphony is. And some commentators believe that this is an antiphonal song where maybe you had one choir singing that first part and another choir responding with, for his mercy endureth forever, whatever that sounded like. But the repetition here calls attention to the theme of this song, and that is all thanks and praise centering around God's everlasting mercy. The word mercy here is a word in the scriptures that refers to unfailing love or loyal love. Love, devotion, kindness is another word that we could use it. Or loving kindness is another translation of this word. God's loving kindness, his loyal love. One person has defined it as a type of loyalty does not merely meet an obligation, but goes to the second mile. The idea of loving kindness. We're called to give thanks for that mercy, that kindness of God here throughout the psalm. And it's something that we are to acknowledge or to confess. This word, give thanks, here that shows up in the first three verses. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. The idea of this word is to acknowledge or to confess. Has anybody here ever had to send a certified letter at any time for something? Why do you send a certified letter? Well, usually it's because you need some sort of acknowledgement that the person you're sending it to has received it, or else they need some acknowledgement that you sent it, and so you both have a way to verify that, to acknowledge that communication. And you know, sometimes it's nice to, when you send something out, maybe, you know, an email, just to have that acknowledgement that somebody has received it. And I've been guilty of not doing that many times. But you know, that's the idea of this word, to give thanks, is just to acknowledge, to confess. And you know, the things in this psalm that we're going to look at this morning are things that probably all of us are very familiar with. But the Lord wants us to recognize those things and acknowledge them. That's what giving thanks means here, to acknowledge these blessings that we have from God, this kindness that we have from God. God has sent this down to us, and has anybody received it? Acknowledge it. Give thanks. Yes. And so that's what we're encouraged to do here this morning. We can easily ignore God's kindness, God's mercy, just take it for granted. But we see the need here to become more aware and to confess, to acknowledge our gratitude to God. So we see four different areas here. We start off here in verses 1 to 3. We see the need to give thanks or acknowledge the kindness of God's majesty. We see our attention is called to the majesty of who God is in the first three verses. We see three different names or titles for God that remind us of who He is, who it is that we thank and acknowledge. Notice it says there in the first verse, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord." Probably in all caps there in your translation. Of course, that reminds us that that is the name for God, the covenant name, Yahweh, Jehovah, in the original. And that's the name that God revealed Himself to Moses there at the burning bush. In Exodus 3, God said to Moses, "I am that I am." He said, "Thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you." That's the name here translated Lord in all caps. But it reminds us that God is a God who is the eternal, self-existent One, who always was, who is, and who always will be. Then we see another title for God in verse 2, "Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods." That's a different word for God, different name, Elohim. It's a plural word in the original, highlights the power of God, also perhaps a reference to triune nature of God as a Trinity. But it's the name of God used at creation. Elohim created the heavens and the earth in the beginning. And then we have a third word title for God in verse 3, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords." This is the word Adonai, emphasizing God's authority. God is the supreme master, supervisor, Lord, one who has authority over all things. He is the Lord of lords, the ultimate authority. We need to remember who God is as we come to Him, give our thanks. But along with that, in this psalm, remember, there's a theme, "For His mercy endureth forever." You know, we're coming to the majesty of God. We're reminded of who God is. And yet at the same time, we're reminded of His kindness. His mercy endureth forever. Perhaps some of you have heard of one of the famous golfers many years ago, Argentina golfer Roberto Di Vincenzo. He was a championship golfer back in the 60s, around that area, 70s. He won a lot of championships. 230 professional tournaments. There's a story about him after he won one of his tournaments there. He was there on the 18th green. He won the tournament. He was presented with his check, Roberto Di Vincenzo. And he finished up the tournament and everything, went back to his car in the parking lot, and there was a woman that came up to him, and she said, "Can you please help me? I have a little baby, and the baby is sick. The baby has a disease in the blood. The baby's going to probably die unless I get help for the baby. Is there anything that you can do to help me?" And, he thought about it a little bit, and he pulled out his check that he had just won. And he signed it over to her. And he said, go make some good days for your baby." He went back in the clubhouse and somebody came up to him and said, "Roberto, you've been tricked. That woman that came up to you, she just fleeced you, and she just took your check. And I heard about what happened, and I can't believe that you did that." And he said, "You mean there's no baby that's dying?" They said, "No, there's no baby that's dying. That woman doesn't have a baby at all." And he said, "That's the best news I've heard all week." You know, it surprises us when we hear about somebody who's a very important person in our culture, a professional golfer even. It surprises us when we hear about a demonstration of kindness. You know, we don't expect that from somebody that's really important, even in our own world. You know, we expect them to be aloof and you know, distant from the needs of people way below them. But it shouldn't surprise us when we think about our God. Our God is majestic. He is the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. Elohim, Jehovah, Adonai. That's who He is. I mean, there's nobody that's above Him. You know, the most important person you could think of here on this earth, God is above that. And yet, what do we read in the Scriptures? We read about the kindness of God. We read that He is loyal and kind to His people. It shouldn't surprise us when we think of His kindness. We should expect that's how He's going to be. We have one that's much greater than any authority here on this earth, and we find that the Bible says that He's merciful and He's kind. And so when we think about our God, we can give thanks for the kindness of His majesty, thinking about who He is. And then as the psalm moves on here, we see another area of kindness. We ought to give thanks and acknowledge the kindness of God's creation here. We are reminded of His creative power. Verses 4 and 5 seem to talk about the insight of God's creation. To Him who alone doeth great wonders, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that by wisdom made the heavens, for His mercy endureth forever. We see in creation God demonstrated great wonders. You know, we call things wonderful that really are not truly wonderful. If we understand what a wonder is in the Bible, we might call a meal or a special trip or a musical performance, wow, that was wonderful. But really, a wonder in the Bible is something that is extraordinary and very difficult and above anybody's ability. That is a wonder. And God in creation, the Bible tells us, did wonders. Things that were just beyond what anyone else knows how to do. That's what God did in creation. We see He also created in wisdom, verse 5. To Him that by wisdom made the heavens. This is the understanding, the insight, the ability or skill for something. You know, we all know that there's people that have skills that we don't have. And we're thankful that they have those. There's times when we need to call a plumber or call the mechanic or go to the dentist. You know, there's times when you have to realize, hey, I don't know how to fix teeth. Got to go. People that have skills, software engineers. I don't have those skills. Architects. You know, we're thankful for licensed nurses, for opticians, for computer programmers, investment bankers, pharmacists, HVAC technicians who really have skills. You know, they've gone to a school and learned a particular skill, and now they have this insight, this wisdom to be able to do that particular thing that somebody else can't do. That's the idea of wisdom here. And the Bible says, by wisdom He made the heavens. There's no highly skilled worker that can compare to the wisdom and skill that God has. Through that wisdom, He created all things. There's no technical school or university that has a program in creating all things. It's just beyond what anybody knows how to do. Nobody else can do that. So we need to give thanks for the insight that God had in creation. And then give thanks for the products of God's creation. Verses 6 through 9. It says, to Him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for His mercy endureth forever. When's the last time you gave thanks for land? That's what it's talking about, earth, land. I know there's some people that like to be out on the water, perhaps even some people that live out on the water for a period of time. But you know, those people always come back to land. And even if it's for a long time, they're going to come back to land eventually, just to stand on it, to have some firm ground under their feet. And we can give thanks for land. God stretched out the land. The idea of stretched out here is to hammer, to stamp, to spread. It's a picture of a metal worker pounding a piece of metal that spreads out as it flattens. We see it used in the construction of the tabernacle in Exodus. They beat the gold there into thin plates. That's the same word that God uses here to describe his creation of land. He beat it out upon the earth. Give thanks for the land. Give thanks for the great lights, verses 7 through 9. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. When was the last time you gave thanks to the Lord for his kindness in creating the sun, moon, and stars? That was a kind and merciful thing that God did for us. If we didn't have them, we wouldn't have days and nights. We wouldn't have seasons. We wouldn't have the passing of time in the way that we're able to calculate it. Scientists tell us that without the sun's heat and light, the earth would be a lifeless ball of ice-coated rock. Our earth is not a lifeless ball of ice-coated rock. Why is that? Because of the sun. The sun warms our planet. And the stability of the sun. Scientists have observed that just 1% variation in the sun would result in an average temperature shift of 2 degrees Fahrenheit on the earth. This doesn't sound like much, but it would change the average temperature, change the local seasonal changes, be greater, more disruption in our seasonal cycle. The size of the moon. It's been observed that other planets have moons, natural satellites, but our moon is different. Our moon is actually very large in comparison with the other moons on the other planets. And that size actually stabilizes our Earth. The scientists again tell us that in the solar system there's gravity out there that's tugging on everything. And our moon, as it rotates around and with it being larger, actually stabilizes those gravitational tugs all around the solar system. And again, that's more than I know, really. But, give thanks for the moon. If it wasn't there, we'd be moving around in space. And our Earth would be, things would be different here. And so who made those? Well, God made those things. And so we need to give thanks and acknowledge, hey, we're here, we can go out, drive our cars on the earth. You know, we don't have to worry about living on water. We're made to live on land, right? Give thanks for that. Those are things we're probably not thinking about from day to day, but they're critical to our everyday lives. So we see that God has made them. He's very kind to give us those great lights. If he took one of them away, we would be toast, literally. Give thanks for the kindness of God's majesty, of God's creation. And then in verses 10 through 22, we see the kindness of God in history. History is a record of God's kindness, and God focuses in here on the history of Israel. Verse 10, to him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endureth forever, and brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endureth forever. With a strong hand, with a stretched out arm, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which divided the Red Sea into parts, for his mercy endureth forever, and made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endureth forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his mercy endureth forever. God in history was kind to his people. He led them out of Egypt. Remember how he did that? He had 10 plagues. He took 10 plagues to bring Pharaoh to his knees. But that last plague, the death of the firstborn, was what led them out. Pharaoh said, get out. I want you to get out of Egypt. It was God's strong hand, his stretched out arm, that brought them out of that oppressive dictatorship there in Egypt. But it was also kindness. It was also God being kind to his people, seeing their affliction for many, many years, and in his mercy, coming down and delivering them. And then his kindness there in the wilderness wandering. One verse summarizes that period of time, verse 16, to him which led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endureth forever. What a way to summarize that period. We've been looking at that in our Sunday school time in Numbers. And God did lead his people through the wilderness. He didn't say anything about how they acted. But they were rebellious. They were complaining. They were unthankful. And yet God provided food for them every day. God gave them water. God led them away from things that would hurt them. God disciplined them at times. He led them through the wilderness. If that's not kindness, I don't know what is kindness. God was kind to his people there. And then the conquest of Canaan, there in the history of Israel, verses 17 through 22, to him which smote great kings, for his mercy endureth forever, and slew famous kings, for his mercy endureth forever, Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endureth forever, and Og, the king of Bashan, for his mercy endureth forever, and gave their land for an heritage, for his mercy endureth forever, even an heritage unto Israel, his servant, for his mercy endureth forever. God had promised his people the land of Israel, the land of Canaan, just one problem. There were Canaanites there. And so the psalmist here reminds us of how God in his kindness allowed Israel to enter into that land. We have the very first two kings that were defeated here, Sihon and Og, king of Bashan. That should sound familiar to the adults in Sunday school because we read about that in Numbers 21. And Og had the bed that was 13 foot by 6 foot. He was probably a giant. Remember, the Israelites were afraid of giants as they come in the first time. But God allowed them to take over this land of giants. And he gave them an heritage or a possession, an inheritance there in that land. Give thanks for the kindness of God in history. Of course, this is Israel's history. I think it's appropriate, especially at this season of the year, that we think about the kindness of God in our country's history, United States of America. What do we think about this time of year? We go back to the pilgrims, the first Thanksgiving. And those pilgrims, they recognize that God was kind to them in those early years. One historian points out God's kindness. He says, the pilgrims set sail for America on September 6, 1620, for 2 months, braved the harsh elements of a storm-tossed sea. Upon disembarking at Plymouth Rock, they held a prayer service, then began building shelters. However, before that, being unprepared for such a harsh New England winter, nearly half of them died before spring. Emerging from that grueling winter, the pilgrims were surprised when an Indian named Samoset approached them and greeted them in their own language, explaining to them that he had learned English from fishermen and traders. A week later, Samoset returned with a friend named Squanto, who lived with the pilgrims and accepted their Christian faith. Squanto taught the pilgrims much about how to live in the new world, and he and Samoset helped forge a long-lasting peace treaty between the pilgrims and the Wampanoag Indians. Pilgrim Governor William Bradford described Squanto in this way, a special instrument sent of God for our good, never left us till he died. That's just one example of the way those pilgrims viewed God. They recognized the way that God had been merciful and kind to them. In their trip across the sea and in their establishment of their colony there at Plymouth. And all throughout our country's history, we could see the same thing, God's kindness to our own country. Of course, we're not Israel, But God has been very kind to this country as well. We need to give thanks for the kindness even in our history. And then we come to another aspect of God's kindness here in verses 23 to 26. And that is God's personal kindness. I think we see these verses helping us to think personally, not just from the history books, but personal kindness. Verse 23, who remembered us in our low estate, for His mercy endureth forever. God remembers when it seems like no one else does. The word low estate here refers to a social position of relatively low power, influence, and esteem. A low estate. Of course, Israel fit that description in their history. They were slaves. That was a pretty low estate, a low position socially. But God remembered us in our low estate. It may be that you fit that description. You have a low estate. You're not that important. We fit that because of our status before God and His holiness and His majesty. What are we? We're nothing. We're sinners. But does God ignore us? No, He remembered us. He took notice of us in our low estate. Our standing before others doesn't affect God's kindness. It doesn't matter how important we are by the world's standards. That doesn't affect the way that God is merciful to us and kind to us. It doesn't depend on that. Verse 24, and redeemed us from our enemies, for His mercy endureth forever. The word redemption here is a violent word. It means to break off, to tear off, to rescue. We see it in Genesis 27 where Jacob is talking about the future of his son Esau. He says, By thy sword shalt thou live and shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass when thou shalt have dominion that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. That was what Esau was going to do in the future. Break that yoke from off his neck. But that's a picture of what God has done in redeeming us in this particular way. He broke off the things that oppress us, the enemies that we have. He breaks us off, tears us away from them. God certainly did that for Israel, literally. He broke them off from their enemies, the Egyptians, people that tried to oppress them. But God has done that for us too. There may be times in your life when you can think about how God literally has broken you off from something that was going to be bad for you, something that was sinful, something that you really needed to be broken away from. God can do that. God has certainly torn us off from sin. Titus 2:14 says, Jesus gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. God redeems us. He rescues us from our sins through Jesus Christ. Then verse 25, who giveth food to all flesh, for His mercy endureth forever. Food. We can always be thankful for food, can't we? Probably this week, you're going to have some food. You probably had some food already today. And God is the source of that. God gives food to all flesh, it says. That means the animals too. Psalm 147:9 says, He giveth to the beast his food and to the young ravens which cry. Psalm 104:14, He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle and the herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth. God gives food to the animals, to the birds. He's the one that makes the crops grow. Farmers don't really do that part. God brings those plants up out of the earth. Giveth food to all flesh. Pilgrims experienced God's provision of food. One of their big struggles was finding food, was learning how to grow food. And the pilgrims tell us, one pilgrim, Edward Winslow, described what God had done for them in the reaping a bountiful harvest. He affirmed in a letter, "God be praised, we had a good increase of Indian corn. By the goodness of God, we are far from want." And then in 1621, they declared a three-day feast to thank God and to celebrate with their Indian friends. They tell us that nearly 90 Indians joined the 50 pilgrims for 3 days of feasting. And here's the food that they had: shellfish, lobsters, turkey, cornbread, berries, deer, and other foods. God gave them food to eat. He gives food to all flesh. If God gives food to the animals, God gives food to the birds outside, is He going to give food to us, to our families? Most certainly He will. God gives us so much kindness personally. My guess is that nothing in this psalm is really all that surprising to you. Probably would agree with everything in it. God is a God of majesty. Agree with that. He created all things. He led His people all throughout history, Israel's history, our history. He's been kind to us personally. But what we're called to do here is to acknowledge those things. They may be things that you see every day, people that you see every day, possessions that God has given to you, and oftentimes you just take them for granted. But what God wants us to do, especially at this season of the year, is acknowledge that He gave them to us. Give thanks. Acknowledge. Give gratitude to God. Give thanks for the kindness of God, specifically. God is a God that doesn't have to be kind to us. But all of us can testify that God has been kind. God has been very kind to us and very merciful. And it's our responsibility at all times, but especially at this time, to acknowledge and to give thanks for the kindness of God. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we confess that often we take for granted Your kindness. We don't always acknowledge that we've received it. We pray that You would help us, especially at this season of the year, to come to You and to give thanks, to acknowledge Your majesty, to acknowledge Your creation, to what You've done for us in our own past history, and to give You thanks. We do that this morning, and we ask that You would help us to continue in that. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Let's take our